Today's episode of Faith in Action is part two of Gordon Smith's interview with Al Lanzekamp from the Our Lady Patroness of America Center in Rome City, Indiana. Part one can be found online at CatholicRadioIndy.org under podcasts.
This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
Welcome to Faith in Action. This is Gordon Smith interviewing Al Lanzekamp today about the topic of Our Lady of America. I am at
Our Lady Patroness of America Center in Rome City, Indiana.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate that. That's a lot of words, but the main point of being here is that this is the place where an apparition occurred 66 years ago in 1956 to Sister Mary Ephraim, and several other occurrences after that here and in other places. Al was explaining in the last segment in our previous program what the things Mary wanted for us and wants for us. And could you go over those again, Al?
Yeah, certainly, Gordon. And in this segment, we'll talk a little bit about whether the apparition is as true or alleged. And we'll get into a little more detail on that. But what Our Lady wants for us is a great gift of grace. But she asks us to be prepared for that grace by this four-step program. First is desire. We need to desire this gift of purity that she wants to give us, which is symbolized by the lily of purity, which she's offering us in her image. Second, we have to pray for that. Third is the frequenting of the sacraments, particularly Eucharist and Confession, and we'll talk about those two specific sacraments in a moment and how they fit into this devotion. And then third is that we give our fiat. We give our fiat to the will of God in our lives, just as she did when she said yes to the angel Gabriel to be the mother of God, having absolutely no idea what that meant.
Let it be unto me according to thy word.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have started talking about that, but can we get into something called indwelling of the Holy Trinity?
And this is a pretty deep theological concept. Her spiritual director, Archbishop Leibel, described it as such and said that for Sister Mary Ephraim's lack of education, she had a very profound understanding of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. So when we receive communion in a state of grace, we know, and this is dogma, that we have received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the dogma. Now, we also know that you can never separate the Holy Spirit from God the Father, from God the Son, that if you receive Jesus Christ, you are receiving the entirety of the Trinity. We also are taught that if we stay in a state of grace after receiving communion, we will retain that for a period of time. Either the sacred species dissolves, or worse, we have an impure thought, or we just forget that the Holy Trinity is with us. And it is just that simple, that if the Lord is with us and we fail to recognize that true fact, that, well, he'll be back next time.
So in receiving communion in the Holy Eucharist, we become many tabernacles in our own bodies, and we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord right in us.
Yes.
For a period of time.
This is true. What Our Lady is saying in this devotion is that that does not need to be such a fleeting time span, that perhaps we could be more available for the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our lives, and that that grace could be more of a regular grace for us. And that is the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. But it's really hard to understand what that means unless you go on and make some examples. Now, many saints across the ages have had this gift, and of course, Our Lady has this gift perfectly. There's a tremendous amount of writing about her and the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. But she wants to give that gift to us. And it's also very akin to what happened in the life of the Holy Family. And she says in this devotion, imitate me as the Immaculate Conception in terms of my fiat, but also imitate the Holy Family in terms of your life. And let's just dive into the Holy Family for just a moment there. You have Jesus Christ. God became man. All right, so not only do you have Jesus in the Holy Family, you also have the Trinity, because we already know we can't separate them. So the Holy Trinity lived in the Holy Family. And then you have Our Lady as the perfect example of creation, immaculate, preserved from all sin. And then you have this guy named Saint Joseph, who really represents us, because he was conceived with sin, but he was baptized and he was preserved from sin in grace. And what Our Lady's promising here is that we will have the grace not to be preserved from sin, but to persevere in that pursuit of a sinless and perfect life. And we won't make it perfectly, but that's where the graces of the Eucharist and confession come to bring us back and restore us. And this is the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. Now think of what happens when a person comes to their home, their family, with the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. That brings peace into the family. And then that peace multiplies. And then that family goes out into the community and now brings peace into the community and then ultimately to the nation and to the world. And one of the promises of this devotion is that through this grace, America will lead the world to peace. And that's in the Diary of Messages. And she's not talking about the absence of war, which is most people think about as peace. She's talking about the peace of Christ. She's talking about the peace that existed in the Holy Family, where humanity and divinity coexisted in perfection and peace. And that's really the gift. That's the manifestation of this gift of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity that she references. And there's so much more to it, but that's really the corpus of it. That's what she's saying. Imitate me, the Immaculate Conception, in my fiat. Imitate the Holy Family in your life.
Seems almost impossible to do. How do we get there? How do we get that done? And what messages were given Sister Maria from about how this might be achieved in this country?
Well, how do we get there? How do we do this? Well,
right.
Well, we don't. We don't do it, okay? This is nothing that we can accomplish on our own, because it's a gift. We have to get it. It's a gift of grace. And she gives us the prerequisites of how we need to form ourselves in terms of our desire, our prayer life, our sacramental life, and most importantly, our desire to always do God's will in everything we do. That's how we do this. But even if we did all those things, absence of grace, it wouldn't change anything. It is then the grace that she's promising us that brings this miracle of healing of the individual, healing of the family, the community, and ultimately the nation and the world. And it is grace. It's nothing other than that.
And that was a different direction than I thought you were going to go on that answer. That's a great answer, Al. I am sitting here looking behind you where you're sitting, and I'm looking at a poster of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. And that enters into this story somehow.
It certainly does. So Our Lady has this plan for us, the individual, that we just discussed, which leads to the fruit of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. But she also has some requests of the bishops, because they need to participate as our shepherds in this act of grace and receiving it and desiring this for our nation. Our Lady talks substantially in this diary about the Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., because it is our national church. It is not owned by the Diocese of Washington, D.C. It's owned by all the bishops and all the faithful. It is our national shrine, and it is dedicated to Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, as was first done by Archbishop John Carroll when he consecrated the United States.
But it also has an Indiana connection, doesn't
it? Well, it does. But what she wants in this devotion, before I get to the Indiana connection, is she wants to be processed into that Basilica shrine as our patroness. Now, she's already there as Our Lady, the Immaculate Virgin, because that's what it is. But nowhere in that national shrine that we know of is she referenced as patroness. And I think she's really saying to the bishops, you've given me two titles. You've consecrated your nation to me, and you've given me this title of patroness. Actually, not two titles, but two acts. You've had two official acts, consecration and naming me as patroness. This beautiful, wonderful church that you built for me really recognizes only one of those. And I think she's saying, I want this thing, I want the faithful to know that I am this nation's patroness and that I am here to be your intercessor and to bring great graces upon the nation. Now, the Indiana connection, interestingly, the basilicas were first started in 1920, and they had the first Mass in 1924, but all they were able to accomplish was the basement, the crypt church. And then the Great Depression and World War II came along. And it wasn't until 1950 that the bishops felt that they had the ability to finish the upper church. And that was a $7 million project, and they asked the Bishop of Fort Wayne, Indiana, Archbishop John Knoll, to lead that program, to lead that fundraising, which he did. He was a giant in the church. People don't recognize how much he did for the American Catholic faithful. Started our Sunday Visitor, radio programs. He was just a tremendous giant.
And we're sitting right here in his summer office.
We are. He had a summer office here at the Knipe Springs. And we are in the office of Archbishop Knoll and some of his predecessors as well, where some tremendously historic things happened. One of them has to do with the Basilica Shrine. So they did the fundraising program, and it didn't meet the number. A lot of participation, but they were short. And I don't know how much, but I think it was a pretty good number. But Archbishop Knoll was later in life now. He died in 1956, just days before this happened here with Sister Mary Ephraim. And he got all of his advisors together and said, how much money can we put together from various things? And also, he was the youngest of 19 children. His father's first wife passed away, remarried, had a second family. So he had lots of older siblings.
We're going to come right back to that thought in a moment. And pick up on this on the second half of this segment here of Faith in Action. I'm interviewing Al Lanzenkamp, and we're talking about Our Lady of America. We'll be right back.
For a long time, we've been telling you that if you have an Echo Dot or other smart speaker device, you can hear Catholic Radio Indy simply by saying, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy. Just the other day, I did that, and Alexa was feeling a bit argumentative. I'll let you hear my conversation with her. Alexa, where are you?
Here I am. What do you want?
Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Now, just why would you want me to do that?
Well, because we've got great programming 24 hours a day.
Well, a lot of other radio stations have good programs, too.
Yeah, but our programming talks about God and eternal salvation.
I am very smart. I know almost everything about everything, but I do not know about God and salvation.
Well, that's why people need Catholic Radio Indy. So, Alexa, do me a favor. Whenever anyone says, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy, just send them our way, would you?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. In the meantime, I am going to do some research about that thing you called salvation. I wonder where I can find out more about that.
Today's episode of Faith in Action is part two of Gordon Smith's interview with Al Lanzenkamp from the Our Lady Patroness of America Center in Rome City, Indiana. Part one can be found online at CatholicRadioIndy.org under podcasts.
This is Gordon Smith, and this is Faith in Action. I'm interviewing Al Lanzenkamp today about Our Lady of America. And shortly before the last segment ended, we were talking about what was happening in the late 40s, in the 50s, about the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and how that was being built. There was some fundraising being done by Bishop Knoll of Fort Wayne, who was very, very important in the development of the National Shrine. You want to go on with that?
Yes. As I said, he was a giant of the church. He was the youngest of 19 children, had many older siblings. He was getting later in life, and many of his siblings had already passed. And understandably, many of them were giving at least portions of their estate to him as the bishop. So by the time this campaign finished up, he was actually quite a wealthy man of no desire of his own. It just happenstance. So he got all of his advisors together and said, how much money can we get to finish this? Because we're short. And it turned out that he was able to, out of his own personal affairs, pull out enough money to finish the Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C.
Himself.
Wow. And we are sitting in his office, and it was from this office that the check was written to finish the Basilica Shrine. Now, he is known as the Apostle of the Shrine, and his bust, his bronze bust, is in the Basilica, and he is titled with that. So Our Lady makes a huge deal about the gift of the Basilica to her. And it's interesting that it's the only Marian Basilica Shrine in the world where an apparition has not occurred. Hmm. Now, this I think says a lot about Americans and our love for Our Lady, particularly under the title of the Immaculate Conception. But it also says a lot about Americans. I just like to phrase it like, we'll build it, she'll come. Okay, but here's the thing. She did not choose Washington, D.C. to be that place. She chose Rome City. And I think part of it was to recognize Archbishop Knoll, but there was another reason that maybe we'll get to later in this segment that I think is almost as important as why Rome City. Our Lady loves this gift. She loves the fact that we recognize her as the Immaculate Conception.
We're interviewing Al Lanzekamp today, and this is Faith in Action. We're talking about Our Lady of America. I am in what some would call the summer home of Bishop Knoll in Rome City. And this was a sanatorium at one time, staffed by Precious Blood Sisters. And one of those Precious Blood Sisters, while stationed here, had some visions of Mary. And those visions were communicated to her while she was in the internal chapel of this facility. There's an external chapel open to the public. It's called an oratory. And that was, you might want to go into that a little bit, Al, but the apparition that allegedly happened was in the internal sisters-only chapel that overlooks the main chapel altar.
Yeah, I think at this point we probably need to talk about what the bishops have said about this devotion and this alleged apparition. The question of what's known as objective supernaturality, and that is when Our Lady, body and soul, appears to someone, is one that takes great discernment on the part of the church, because Satan and all his wiles can imitate, and the bishops want to make certain that they give adequate protection to us by not letting us go down a path that is dangerous. So the bishops have a process that they go through to discern whether or not Our Lady indeed did appear, and it is a process that is defined by the Vatican. It's very similar to becoming a saint, all right? They look at the life of the person, the writings, the fruits, and then ultimately miracles. And if all of these things come together, they can say with certainty that Our Lady appeared and that she did say X, Y, Z, and that we should listen to that. Not that we have to be saved. This is just a program to make us holier and increase our opportunities to receive grace. But what the church has in this process is they have three outcomes that they can choose. They can say, one, it was not true. Whatever it was not Our Lady. And that would be a condemnation. At the other end of the spectrum, they can say Our Lady did indeed without question appear, and these would be places like Fatima and Lourdes, Guadalupe, to name just a few. But then there's this middle ground, And they have the option to say, and this is what the bishops in this case have chosen, is that we can find no evidence that it was a fraud, that it was imagination, illusion, dementia, whatever, or profit motive. No evidence that it was in any of those categories that would condemn it. But we don't have enough evidence to say that it was actually a body and soul apparition of Our Lady. So they place it in this middle ground, which says that the devotion that surrounds this is authentic and is fruitful and is available for the lay faithful should they want to participate in it. But the interesting thing about this is that it can change, because I don't think Our Lady is done here or with this devotion. It leaves the door open for more miracles of grace and of healings. And frankly, in this devotion, there have been some great miracles of healings and conversions, but not enough yet for our bishops to say with certainty that it was Our Lady. What I believe the bishops have done, and I just have to give my tremendous appreciation to the bishops for their discernment, their prayer, and their guidance in this, is that they have now given Our Lady a place to act, to perform her miracles under this name. And now it's up to her. It's up to her, and it's up to us to respond to these graces. And it is my belief that over time it will become obvious that Our Lady did indeed appear here in 1956. That's my hope, my prayer, and my faith.
And when you mention bishops, you're using that word plural, because this was not a small task to do this, because Sister Mary Ephraim was under several bishops in several jurisdictions. Is that not true?
Yes. It is the local bishop who has the authority to determine supernaturality. And in this particular case, Sister Mary Ephraim was only here for 7 weeks, and then she was moved to there and to here and everywhere. The diocese that were involved and the bishops who were involved were the diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, and Bishop Rhodes took the lead because this is where it started. And then Cincinnati, also Toledo, Detroit, Lafayette, Indiana, and Phoenix, Arizona. So these are where Our Lady allegedly appeared. All of those. So those bishops came together and in their wisdom thought that it would be best for them to do one study as opposed to six separate ones. And that's what they did. And they started that somewhere in the early 18. They concluded in 2020. And at that time, they were not able to say that it was objectively supernatural, but they were able to say that they could find nothing that indicated that it was fake. So that puts it in this category, and now this place has been designated as an official pilgrimage site for the devotion. And on August 6th of this year, 2022, Bishop Rhodes came here, reconsecrated the chapel, and renamed it as an oratory of the Holy Family. And it's the only oratory of the Holy Family in the United States.
Well, that's amazing. So, and that goes right along with what Mary's request of us was in this apparition. And oratory, what does that mean? Not, many people are not familiar with the term oratory as it relates to a Catholic church.
Oratory is not a parish. It's not a cathedral. What it is it's a chapel. And there's different types of chapels. There's a private chapel, which would be something that perhaps you would have in your home with the approval of the bishop. Heads of state, kings, queens, they would, and throughout history, have private chapels. And then there would be a chapel that would support an organization like a university chapel or a hospital chapel. These are places to serve the faithful who are at those places for a purpose related to the mission. And then an oratory is a public chapel. It is still a chapel. It's not a parish where that's open to serve and support all the faithful. So for sacraments and teachings and such like that.
And so you do have Mass here?
We have Mass.
How often?
We have Mass right now once a month at the first Saturday. We do the first Saturday devotion at 11 o'clock along with confession and a rosary and other spiritual exercises as they develop. We give tours and things and explain what Our Lady wants for them. But so that's our start right now. We do tours every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 11, and then the first Saturday in Mass. Now, next year we'll have more Masses with this new designation as an oratory. We are working towards having permanent reservation of the Eucharist here, but frankly, we're not ready yet. We're still doing a lot of work in the chapel, and it's not appropriate to have Jesus reserved as you're painting walls and such. But as that finishes and completes, we hope that we'll have more of a program here. Our pastor, Father Louis Fuoyo at St. Gaspar, just down the street, is very excited about the possibilities of catechesis here and spiritual formation. And that really is the grace that Our Lady wants for us.
Is there a chance or a way that this at some point will become a shrine?
Well, that would be another designation, and that would be up to the bishop. And, there's our job here is to receive pilgrims and make sure they have a place to come. What you just described is between Our Lady and the bishops, and I'm staying out of it.
Okay, that's a good answer, Al. I appreciate that. We are at Our Lady of America. That's what this program is about. I'm interviewing Al Lanzenkamp, and it's Our Lady, Immaculate Virgin, Patroness of America, is the formal name of this organization. And tell me the name of this facility one more time, Al.
Well, it's called the Knipe Spring Sanitarium. That's the historical name. But this is Our Lady Patroness of America. That's the new name that Bishop Rhodes has designated for us, and that he has now renamed the chapel to the Oratory of the Holy Family. That's because of the focus of imitating the Holy Family in this devotion. And we really haven't been able to get down that path today, but maybe in a subsequent program we can get to that.
We'll get to that for sure, Al. Thank you so much. We appreciated interviewing you today and Faith in Action. And God bless you and your efforts here. And please come up to see this place. This is amazing, and you will not regret it.
Thank you, Gordon. And just want to make sure everybody remembers patronessofamerica.org to get details. Sign up for the newsletter there, all of our events there, and that's the place to go to get information.
God bless you, Al. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Brigid. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Brigid at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.